Well, good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Today is the fifth Sunday of Easter. Would you please stand as you are able as we sing our opening hymn, God has spoken to his people. Christ is risen, alleluia. I am the way and the truth and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let us pray. Ever living God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth and the life, give us grace to love one another, to follow in the way of his commandments, and to share his risen life, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your words that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's move on to our first reading.
A reading from the book of Acts. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Please stand as you're able as we sing our next hymn, Safe in the Shadow of the Lord. Thank you. reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. For that Gospel passage, probably started in a very familiar way to many people. Those opening words are very often chosen as a reading at a funeral or a memorial service. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." And these provide much comfort to the bereaved. The message that comes over is God is in control. God will come to us in our distress. Our loved ones are safe in his hands. But this is John's Gospel, and so there is a lot more depth to this passage. Yes, his aim is indeed that of comfort and reassurance, but in the context that the Gospel writer puts it, it's part of Jesus' farewell discourse, his disciples, on the night before the events of Good Friday. Jesus had told them that he would be leaving them and everything is going to change. Hard times are ahead, and then they feel that they have been abandoned. And so to the disciples, he says this: "You believe in God, believe also in me." He's telling his disciples explicitly that in the days and the weeks ahead, they should believe all that Jesus had said about himself, that all that would come about. And Jesus had foretold not only his death, but his resurrection as well. He's telling his disciples that they were and should be justified in putting their faith in him. As he goes on, because they know him, they know the Father, they know God, he's claiming his divinity, believe in him because of what he said, and therefore all the promises of God will come. But yes, things would be different. They would not see Jesus in the same way that they had before, but they would still be with him. In verse 3, Jesus tells them, "I will come again and will take you to myself, so where I am, there you may be also." And this is a promise, yes, of a resurrection, but it's also a promise of Pentecost, a promise of the coming of the Spirit, or the Advocate, as John puts it. These are new ways in which God will be with God's people. The many dwelling places of verse 2 has less to do with heavenly mansions, more to do with relationships. Jesus is promising that throughout all that was to come, the relationship between God and God's people, between Jesus and his disciples, would remain, even if his outward manifestation would change. And this is a reassurance that St. Paul put so eloquently in his letter to the Romans. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's another passage which is often read at funeral services. But despite this reassurance, there's often still a worry about, well, how can this be so? What do we need to do? And Jesus says this is simple. Follow him. In verse 5, he says, you know the way to the place where I am going. But even in that sentence there's a twist. John loves wordplay. And in the original Greek, the word for place doesn't actually appear. A word-for-word translation is, and where I am going, you know the way. Now, Thomas, the disciple that John often uses as the voice to articulate what everybody is probably thinking, but don't want to say, afraid to ask, he hears what the NRSV translators have put in for us and asks about place. Where is Jesus going? Effectively, he's asking for the first century equivalent of GPS coordinates and a Google map route. What Jesus is saying, though, is that they have directions, so why do they need to know the final direct destination? It is enough to walk in Jesus' way. But the twist that John is giving us is that, of course, both ways of reading this verse are true. The directions and the destination are both Jesus. You know the way, you also know where you're going. Just as far as last week when we thought about Jesus as the shepherd and the gate, we said Jesus was the destination, but also the way to that destination. This then brings us to one of those great I am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The purpose of this statement is to reassure the disciples that they actually know more than they think they do. They should focus on their trust in Jesus, and that will lead them through the days, the weeks, the months ahead. It's a profound statement that gives more than just reassurance. It answers the question of, what do we do? So Jesus says, I am the way. And throughout the Bible, there is a sense of movement with purpose, guided by God. Back in the story of the Exodus, the Israelites journeyed from Egypt to the Promised Land, and Moses was told, you shall not turn to the right or to the left. You must follow the path the Lord your God has commanded to you. They didn't know exactly when they were going. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know exactly when they would actually end up there. All they knew to do was to follow the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day. The prophet Isaiah, at the beginning of his ministry, was told, this is the way. Walk in it. The psalmist tells us, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Following God. In fact, the early Christians, the book of Acts records, were known as the people of the way. To follow Jesus was to follow him in the way of God's purposes, to do the works that Jesus does, as verse 12 puts it. Then Jesus says, I am the truth. And this is why Jesus can be the way. He brings the revelation and the light to the world. Again from the Psalms, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. We can trust the directions, we can trust the following, because Jesus is the truth, the revelation. Then Jesus says, I am the life. The writer of the book of Proverbs says, whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life. The psalmist says, you show me the path to life. So ultimately, this is what our questioning, our seeking is about. What makes life worth living? In John's gospel, it's described as eternal life. It's participation with being of God, a relationship between God and God's people now and forever. That is life in its widest sense. So there's a message here for us today. We live in challenging times. There's a lot of things going on, but I think almost every generation will probably say they were living in challenging times with a lot of things going on, and our current troubles are just the latest. We have troubles in the world, troubles in our homes, troubles in our cities. We may not know the way forward, the questions that need to be asked. We may not know where this will all end up. But what Jesus is saying is the important thing is the journey, the way, the being with him. We are called to follow in the way of Jesus, to heed his truth, be led into life. And as we do this, we show God's being in what we do because of a relationship that we have with him. We share God's message of love. Heal the sick, feed the poor, free the captives. And we are sure that in all the myriad ways in which this relationship shows out, God is with us. There's an early 20th century hymn by C. Austin Mills who puts it this way. I am the way, the Saviour said, and I would follow on, content to know that after night shall break a glorious dawn. I am the truth, then truth shall be a beacon light to guide my bark across the stormy sea to where still waters glide. I am the life, there is no death for me to fear nor dread, since by his all-atoning blood my life to his is wed. Amen. Please stand as you're able as we say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the world and for the church.
Today we'll be ending the prayers with, Lord, in your mercy, and you say, hear our prayer. Ever-living God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, give us grace to love one another, to follow in the way of his commandments, and to share his risen life. Who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We pray for the peoples of the world in conflict, specifically for the peoples of the Middle East and Africa. We pray for wisdom for all those involved in negotiations for peaceful and just settlements of the complex and ongoing conflict situations in the world today, and for those seeking to bring relief to those caught up in the effects of these events, both near us and far away. Lord, in your mercy, We pray for the church community throughout the world. We pray that they may continue to prosper and grow in faith. Specifically today, we pray for the Church of North India, for the Diocese of Armidale, where Rod Chiswell, the clergy and the people. We pray for the parish of Coolum, Karen Allen, Richard County, Jocelyn Pitt, Jim McPherson and Richard Bowie. Pray for North Queensland Lotus Glen Correctional Centre, for Jim Sane and Claire Norris. We also pray for the Cannon Hill Anglican College, for its principal, Gary O'Brien, and its chaplain, Nathan James. We also pray the members of the College Council, staff and students. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those who selflessly give up their time and their lives to spread your message around the world. Specifically today, we pray for our missionary partners, Danny Middlethorpe, Scripture Union Chaplain at Willis Hill State School. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our local community, for those bringing your message of mercy to the youngest. We pray specifically today for our local schools and colleges, for Wellers Hill Primary, for Junction Park Primary, and Maruka Primary. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for our parish, and specifically today, we continue to pray for the last stages of work needed to enable Little Angels Tarragindi to open. Please pray that all the obstacles in their way disappear. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you bring healing and hope to those who suffer. Today we pray for those who are sick, frail, or emotionally stressed. Specifically in our parish, we pray for Ryan, Sharon, Reverend Shane, David F., Peter, Lauren, Rita, Don, Margaret, Peter, Maxine, and Robin McElnay, and also Glenn and Rose and Mon McNeil. Please accept our prayers and heal them, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. We also pray for those who have gone on into God's loving embrace, and we ask you to remind us to live for your service till our last days. Specifically, we pray for Theodora Helen Booth, James Frederick Mendham, Colin Cyril Calder, Irish Joan Hamm, Ronald G. Murphy, Eileen Victoria Harrison, Courtney Digby Spry, Mary Pugh, Joseph Paul, and Graham Percival Mundy. Lord, in your mercy.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, the Son of God, has been revealed as a light to the nations. Let us bring our darkness to his light, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith. Pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ.
Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you all. Four on Zoom. I won't wave that. The camera's not working. I'll wave at that camera. There we are. Let's remain standing. We sing our next hymn, I Am the Bread of Life. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share, accepting you as our offerings for your glory, for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You've given it to us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross, Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that you gave us back the risen one, full of grace and glory. Because he rose again, we will go with joy wherever Jesus sends. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that in baptism you made us one with Jesus, and you brought us out of darkness into light. When you pour out your Spirit, you fill us with the gifts we need to be your holy people. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You've gathered us together to feed on Christ and to remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your Spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. As this broken bread was once many grains, which being gathered together and made one bread, so may your church be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Alleluia! Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Come, let us celebrate the feast. Draw near with faith to feed on Christ in your hearts with thanksgiving. Eternal God, giver of life, in the breaking of the bread we know the risen Lord. May we who celebrate this holy feast walk in his risen light and bring new life to all creation. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace to go thankfully and with courage in the power of your Spirit. Well, let's stand as we are able as we sing our missional hymn, We Have a Story to Tell the Nations. God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.